This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
All right, we're back. GP Trap Hewitt says, I love all sports. One, hockey. Two, college football. Three, pro football. And then he says, nice hat. Thank you, sir. It is a great hat. Super comfortable, too, man. It's one of my favorite hats lately that I've been wearing because it's so damn comfortable, man. It is so awesome. Baked Beans says, we're 0-2, start 2 of Thursday. Yeah, Baked Beans, that's not going to happen. You might be baked because you're smoking something else, but not beans. Let's see, what else? Big O Broncos have just signed Blake Bortles. Well, they lost the kid. So I guess they're desperate. They got to have some kind of a quarterback in there. Start 2 on Thursday. Stick to legumes, baked beans. Okay, start 2 on Thursday. Stick to, what is it, legumes? What is that? At baked beans. Okay. Coming down to Miami for a Canes game this weekend. Can anyone recommend a spot I can pick up some Canes apparel? Specifically looking to grab a nice polo, go to Canes Wear, Felipe. Okay? Canes Wear, 2511 South University Drive in Davie. And Felipe, when you walk in there, you tell him that I sent you. Okay? Say, hey, Big O Show told me to come here. All right? Go see Brett. All right? Brett is the owner. All right? You got me? Brett. Canes Wear. They are great people over there. Really, really nice people. Let's see what else. This week's conversations would be totally different if two plays went different. One, the failed fourth and goal, and the dropped interception pick six by Van Noy. And you hear Josh Tolentino talk about the hand injury that Van Noy has, which apparently has affected his play too. You know? So... Ray Grulon chiming in with a little super chat. Thank you, Ray. I need batteries.
But I said, but I'm tired.
We'll have it for next week.
I'm tired.
Ray says, thank you for educating me on soccer. I'm learning more and more. Thank you, Ray, for being patient and being open to learning it. You know what I mean? There are some people that are just close-minded, and then you're gonna cheat yourself out of a pretty cool experience and a team, by the way, that has a owner that is as committed to winning as it gets, okay? I mean, you could tell by all the moves they're making. Big O, your VSS West Pines commercial needs to end with, and ladies, when I'm at VSS West Pines, you can get all your TLC needs met. Nice. Nice, radically. Ohio John says, call me crazy, but I'm in no hurry to put two on the field in 2020. Ohio John, I love you, brother. That's common sense. There's no hurry. None. None whatsoever, bro. It's fine. Let the team develop a little bit more. Let the line get settled. They're already playing well, but let them get really confident. Let them get that running game going, everything, you know, in tune. And if they're not in playoff contention, then you can start to put them in there. But for now, I think for about a half a season at least, you need to have Fitz in there. And if you have a winning record and you're still alive for the playoffs, then you continue with Fitz. And if you fall out of playoff contention, then you throw Tua in for the last couple games of the season. Maybe he plays the last two, three, four, five games of the season, something like that. But I'm with you. I'm not in a hurry. I'd rather put him in towards the end when the team's better. You know, look, like last year, right? You don't want to put him in the first seven games. You want to put him in when you're 5-4, right? When you were playing a lot better. Same thing here. Now, the problem is, if you're playing better and you're in playoff contention, you can't bench Fitz. It's like some of the guys now that have said, oh, start him on Thursday. Well, why? We didn't lose because of Fitz. Fitz made the game-winning throw to Preston Williams. So, Look, last year Fitz sucked the first few weeks. So they had to throw Rosen in because it was bad. And then when Rosen failed, they put Fitz back in and he took off and played well.
Just knee jerk, man. That's all it is. Come on.
Hey, you had to have learned something from Flores. If you're helping him win, you will stay on the field. If you're helping him lose, you will not be on the field. And he doesn't care if you're a first rounder or a street free agent. He doesn't give a shit. Okay? That's just flow. Help me when you play. You're a baby, I don't care. You're a 12-year veteran, I don't care. You're helping me win. That's what it's all about. You should have learned that already from Flo. So Fitz had nothing to do with the loss last week. And the week before, he was only at fault for one of the interceptions. Let's see. Hank Goldberg's left nut says, no rush on Tua, focus on getting the defense better. Fitz is doing fine. Boom. Let's see. How come I never heard of Van Noy when we played him on the Pats? Well, dude, I'm sorry. Baked Beans, you're on a real roll, bro. If you've never heard of Van Noy, you don't follow football. Now, listen, some of you out there like Baked Beans, you're just a doll fan. You're not really a hardcore NFL fan. If you didn't know Kyle Van Noy, you're not a hardcore NFL fan. That's all. It's pretty simple, Baked Beans. Okay, I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you supporting us. But when you ask me, I've never heard of Kyle Van Noy, I will tell you, you're not a hardcore football fan. That's all. You might be a hardcore Dolphin fan. And there's plenty of people like that. They follow the Heat, not the NBA. They follow the Marlins, not Major League Baseball. They follow the Panthers, not the NHL. That's fine, dude. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But please don't make it sound like Kyle Van Noy is a nobody. Anybody that follows football knows Kyle Van Noy. That's all. It's pretty simple. If you don't know Kyle Van Noy, then you're really not a hardcore football person. Okay? Let's see. Van Noy was a good player for the Pats. He has been very Jeremy's now explaining to the guy. Let's see. Gus says, Notre Dame football cancels practice after four players test positive for COVID. Oh, I might have jinxed it.
He never misses a free throw, the dunk.
Field goal.
Bro.
He's hit 47 straight field goals.
Man.
Clank.
My dad's at home right now freaking out because of you.
That's awesome. I was just praising college football because of that. I mean, it's only Notre Dame football practice, so maybe it's not a big deal. It's just one practice. It's not the whole game or anything. So we'll see what happens. But I am impressed that college football has even made it through the first couple of weeks. I got to be honest.
They were one of the schools that had a rash of COVIDs when they first opened.
Oh, yes. You're right.
They were one of the schools.
You're right. Matthew Walker goes to Baked Beans, and you probably thought Mitchell Trubisky was ahead of Mahomes because Mitchell didn't have to wait to start. And then Drew Boo goes, Baked Beans, you trying to be funny? So that's how crazy it is to say I've never heard of Van Noy, that they actually think, Baked Beans, you're joking, but they don't really know that you're not a hardcore football fan. That's the problem. Oh, I love it. Big O, when we look back later in the year, it will turn out that both New England and Buffalo are top five teams in the AFC. Baltimore and KC are 1-2. Those losses were to good teams with defenses to blame. Hey, man, I'm not worried about it. The Dolphins were competitive in the first 2 weeks against those teams. They weren't competitive at all last year in the first couple of weeks. They were losing by hundreds of points. So, I mean, give me a break. I'm not worried about it. I really am not. I think the Dolphins might even win on Thursday. And then people will maybe relax a little bit more after that happens.
No, let's put some expectation. We should win on Thursday. Jacksonville has lost a lot of their main players, man. We should win that game.
I mean,
shouldn't we?
I don't know if we're not at a point that you can say we should win.
What are any expectations?
No, we can have expectations to play well, play hard, be competitive, but to assume a victory, I don't think we're there yet. We're not there yet, bro. We can lose to everybody in the league.
You know what, man? We're a dropped pass or interception from winning against Buffalo.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling
you. And Jacksonville kind of gutted.
I get it. But
they've gutted their team.
But we're not the kind of team to say that we should be beating anybody yet. We're not there yet. It's game three of a complete rebuild in year two. There's no way.
I'm just thinking on paper, man, them against it, like,
no, we're on the road. We could lose, bro. Their quarterback is playing well, too. Their running back, they got rid of Fournette, and then James Robinson's kicking ass.
Oh, Robinson's done well, man.
Right, so.
And he is a bell cow. That guy is on their field for them 80%, 90% of their plays.
They have a couple receivers that are Blazers, bro.
Chark, he's one of my.
Chark is not a Blazer. It's the other kid that's a Blazer.
Yes.
I'm brain farting now.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know you're.
The kid's going to be a pain in the ass to cover this week. So, yeah. You know? I'm not going to do that to the Dolphins. Now, I expect them to be competitive. I expect them to be in the game. I'm going to pick them to win this week. But I'm not going to assume that they got to win because they're not there yet. But I don't expect them to get blown out.
You know what? That? I'm thinking about it historically. Jacksonville is a team that we have issues. They've done well against us. You know what I mean?
Yep. Jeremy Granger says, so true on that. Oh, chalk and cheese Dolphins this year compared to last. So impressed already. With at least the very least our O-line, which was horrific, games 1-7 last year. Man, no, we're competitive right now. I'm right there, man. They cut the New England game to 3. And the Buffalo game, they lost by 3. I mean,
If a couple plays go our way,
that's all it is.
We got a W on Sunday.
I think the Dolphins are not nearly as bad as people make it out to be, man. I'm sorry. Ronald says, I hope they do not insert Tua no earlier than the Jets game. We have a bye and then the Jets again. Too many brutal defenses between now and then. We need the O-line to grow and develop. Ronald, you are Mr. Common Sense. I love you. GP Trap Hewitt says, anything can happen on any given Sunday. Amen to that. Jax is scrappy as F. With that QB, can only assume top teams will beat them. That's right. Right. That's a good way of looking at it because they are scrappy. So you're going to have to earn a victory against them. I got you. I'm with you there. Big O. But we have seen this team improve from last year. The O-line and run game is really the only thing that has improved. All those pieces they've added on D stink. I mean, it's 2 games, bro. I'm not ready for that. And Jones got injured the first game. So did they pass on the secondary? I'm sorry, I must have missed that.
155 yards.
Yeah, I must have missed the first game where they were burning the secondary.
15 of 19, 155.
And then the second game, your top corner gets injured, so you only have one top corner left, and your rookie gets exposed. So, again, you're like jumping to conclusions. You know, it's not all that bad, dude.
A little disappointing, obviously. Not being able to stop the run and carry over from last year.
Well, that's,
and huge lack of tackling, but that's because of no practicing.
But that's not the two corners, at least. You know what I mean?
So right.
For him to say the whole D and everything, you know, just now, dude, it's not the whole.
It's been a little disappointing, but, you know.
I'm not going crazy after
there's some game. There's some factors,
not
you know,
going,
with
I'm not doing that.
The issues.
I didn't do it last year. Why am I going to do it now? I didn't do it last year. I'm not doing it now. Just not. I don't think it's worth it.
The one thing you keep saying, we are light years ahead of where we were post 2 games. Last year, man, it was doom and gloom. I mean, literally, there was nothing to be positive about at all.
No, I'm with you. Let me give you a little bit of new music news. You know, we always love going over some of the music things that happened today in history. First of all, we start with Toni Basil, who was annoying as hell. She was born on this day back in 1943. The singer, actress, dancer had, of course, Mickey, the number one song in the U.S. back in 1982. And, man, I still hate that song to this date. Okay?
Really?
Yeah, oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my – oh, it's annoying. Anyway, I don't know if you knew this, but Basil worked as David Bowie's choreographer during his Diamond Dogs tour in 74 and his Glass Spider tour in 1987. She was the choreographer.
I do remember that she was part of, you know, but not being the star. I do remember something, but I couldn't.
I didn't know. I knew she was a choreographer, but I didn't know.
And then
kind of like, what's her name? Oh, damn it. The one that married Emilio Estevez and then divorced quickly. She had Opposites Attract. Paula Abdul.
Paula Abdul
was also a choreographer before she was a singer.
Michael
like
Jackson
that.
did some choreographing for Michael Jackson,
yep,
bro.
Yep. And the Lakers. And the Lakers.
74, David Bowie. You're probably talking, you know, major Ziggy Stardust and all that show. Man, wow.
Yep.
Not bad.
51, David Coverdale was born on this date, the rock singer from Whitesnake. Deep Purple, too. He was the lead singer of Deep Purple from 73 to 76. Happy birthday to him. You Light Up My Life, another annoying song. On this day, Debbie Boone was born in 1956, the daughter of Pat Boone, and she had the number one single with You Light Up My Life in 1977. Annoying. 56 on this day, 1956, Rhett Forrester was born. No, he's not an offensive line coach doing cocaine in the Dolphin building. No, Rhett Forrester, okay, is an American musician best known as the lead singer for the New York bass band Riot. And he was with them from 81 to 84, okay? Sadly, he was shot and killed at a Northwest Atlanta intersection after he refused to give up his vehicle in an attempted carjacking. He was 37 years old. It's crazy to go out that way. In 1957, Peter Jones was born on this date from Public Image Limited. This is not a love song. If you like Public Image Limited. Let's see what else. In 1958 on this date, lead singer, one of the lead singers of the Runaways, and a solo artist and a Hall of Famer, Joan Jett, was born on this date. Founding member of the Runaways, and obviously had the number one single in the U.S. in 1982 with I Love Rock and Roll. Okay. She's also known as the godmother of punk. In 1975, Mystical Michael Taylor, the U.S. rapper, was born on this date in 75, had the number one U.S. single with Stutter back in 2001. Happy birthday to them. In music history, we start off in 1969. A new weekly TV show started on this date in 1969. It was called The Music Scene. And it was on ABC. And the first episode had Stevie Wonder, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Tom Jones, Mama Cass Elliott, James Brown, Janis Joplin, and Sly and the Family Stone were all booked to appear on that show. Is that one hell of a show or what?
That's a stacked group, man.
Like, that's a show I want to watch over and over and over and over again. Are you kidding me? Let me go over that again. James Brown, Stevie Wonder, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Tom Jones, Mama Cass Elliott, Janis Joplin, and Sly and the Family Stone. Are you kidding me, bro? I got to find that show on YouTube now, man. That's what, that's what I need to do.
It started out strong. What happened? Right?
Yeah. I mean, how do you follow up that one? Yeah, exactly. That's in 1972 on this date, David Bowie kicked off his North American leg of his Ziggy Stardust tour at the Music Hall in Cleveland, Ohio. In 1990, Garth Brooks' album No Fences entered the U.S. album charts. It went on to become the biggest-selling country album of all time, sold over 13 million copies in the first 5 years of release. In 1992, on this date. Def Leppard were forced to cancel two U.S. shows after their sound equipment truck was found abandoned after one of the band's drivers had attempted to rob a store. The driver was later charged with possession of drugs and criminal damage. Can you imagine that? In 92, Def Leppard's like an enormous rock band at that point. And one of your drivers is like robbing a store, dude? Like, what the hell is that?
That makes absolutely no sense.
None.
Hey, you got to get to so-and-so for the next show. Wait, I got to make a detour and go rob the store. Excuse me.
Come on, are you kidding me? In 1999 on this date, this is pretty good. Diana Ross was arrested on Concord after an incident at Heathrow Airport. The singer claimed that a female security guard had touched her breasts after being frisked. Ross retaliated by rubbing her hands down the security guard. Now, if I knew that was going to happen when Diana Ross came by, then I would do it too. Feel Diana Ross, she feels you.
I'm just a little reach around by Diana.
I'm not opposed to a little cheap thrill every once in a while. In 2000, on this date, John Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora became co-owners of the Arena Football League expansion team, the Philadelphia Soul. In 1984, on this date, here it is, John Waite had the number one song in America with Missing You. Great, great song. Awesome, awesome song. In 1998, on this date, Rob Zombie's heavy metal group, White Zombie, broke up. Damn, it's been 22 years since White Zombie broke up. That's crazy, huh? And in 2002, I didn't see this, but some of you probably did, the Osbournes won the Emmy Award, getting the trophy for the best reality TV show for the Osbournes. Okay? So that is what happened in music history on today's date. How about that? Did you know that the Beastie Boys inspired Robert Plant once?
And they did this how?
Well, in 98, Robert Plant scored a hit with his song Tall Cool One, okay? A track which, to surprise of many, was sampled by the Rockers' previous band. The song was the third single from Now and Zen, which if you don't have the Now and Zen album, it's a great album. It's a great album. Okay,
Ship of Fools. Get it right now.
Ship of Fools is such a great song. Anyway, Plant's fourth solo LP since his breakup of Zep. Not only did former bandmates Jimmy Page play guitar on the track, but Tall Cool One also included samples of several classics from Led Zeppelin hits. The Beastie Boys had just been sampling Bono, Zeppelin's drummer John Bonham, Plant recalled in an edition of his Digging Deep podcast. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. You can get a better drum sound. So the Beastie Boys had famously used Led Zeppelin samples throughout their 86 debut album, License to Ill. The trio's Rhymin' and Stealin' used Bonham's bombastic drum beats from When the Levee Breaks, while the song She's Crafty and Time to Get Ill sample Led Zeppelin's The Ocean and Custard Pie. So if you think of When the Levee Breaks or something, Plant continued, this is a mic placement. Jimmy Page on acid. It was just so good, so no, why not use it again and again and again and again? Tall Cool One sampled Led Zeppelin songs Black Dog, Dazed and Confused, Whole Lotta Love, The Ocean, and Custard Pie. But while the Beastie Boys had bravely or foolishly sampled other artists without permission, leaving open the possibility of legal action, Plant had no such concerns. As I was still with Atlantic Records then, there was no point in suing me because I was already on their label anyways, LaRocker explained. How about that? So he heard what Beasties did in sampling, so then he started sampling on his album. That's pretty cool. I had no idea that that he actually did that. The other thing, you know, I was telling you earlier on the show that today marks a year where I was in Colorado a year ago today I was at Red Rocks. Like right now, I would be in the stairs at Red Rocks getting positioned so I can go in later on in the evening to go to the concert. Yeah, hours. Yeah, we were there 5, 6, 7 hours before the
general ad, and you're there 7 hours before?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but there is visuals, man. You're talking about being, you know.
Well, no, let me tell you
postcards
something.
Postcards everywhere you look.
Can I give you guys a tip on Red Rocks also? Let me give you a tip, okay? All right, and you're going to experience it one day with me. But when you go to Red Rocks, and if you're going to go see a band that you really love, okay, you go early. All right, if they don't have assigned seating and it's general admission like this was, you go early and you wait on the stairs, okay? Go multiple people so you can take turns, go to the bathroom, go get something to eat downstairs, whatever, because there's a place where you can go all the way down. You got to walk like 5 blocks, but you can walk there and back and get something to snack on, go relieve yourself, all those kind of things. Two. If you get there early and you're up top, closer to the entrance, you will hear the entire sound check. So both nights or both days, we got the entire sound check, which was like 20 minutes long, by the way. They did like 5 songs or 4 songs. It was crazy. Okay? So we got to hear Greta before we got to see Greta. So it was actually cool. So if you really like a band and you're going to go see a band you love, you'll get to see the sound check. And they might, and in sound check, sometimes they don't always play all the songs they play in a concert. So that's the thing that you never know. So just a little tip if you want to go there. And so I was telling you that because Fitz and the Tantrums played a show at Red Rocks this week. They performed on Monday, September 21st. The band announced an extremely limited number of in-person tickets will be available. However, fans will also be able to tune in through a pay-per-view live stream, via Nugs.tv. They're the ones that I believe Nugs.tv is the one that has I want to say it's Dave Matthews Band every week. They have Nugs.tv. I think Dave Matthews is on there. Somebody has Nugs.tv has other bands, just so you'll know. Anyway, the show is set to go down Friday, September 25th. So this Friday at 7 p.m. Central, tickets for the live stream are available now, and in-person tickets will go on sale Tuesday, September 22nd at 10 a.m. You can get more info, yada, yada, yada. So there you go. If you want to see a show that Fitz and the Tantrum put on at Red Rocks, and I was thinking about this, if I knew about this, I would go out to Red Rocks just to go see a concert, man. I'm telling, and I love Fitz and the Tantrum. They are excellent. I've seen them live, and they are really, really good. Okay?
You know what's going through my head with the sound check thing at Red Rocks?
What's that?
All right, you two, you get over there, and you start playing Drowning Man like you did in South America. Thank you.
So let me tell you about a story where heavy metal killed new wave. The day, you know, we always talk about how grunge killed hair metal, right? Kind of ended for hair metal once we started with grunge because the country kind of shifted to grunge. Some of us stayed and said, okay, we like the grunge, but we also like our heavy metal. We're sticking with both. That's some of us. But the average American that fell in love, you know, fictitiously with heavy metal, then got on the bandwagon with grunge and probably got off of that and never, you know, turned back to it ever again. But early 80s, a sea change began unfolding in mainstream music, with radio-friendly new wave acts finding themselves in competition for airplay with the emergence of metal bands from both sides of the Atlantic. By 83, the metal revolution was well underway and powered by heat-seeking new releases from the likes of Iron Maiden, Def Leppard, Dio, and Ozzy Osbourne. It showed little signs of abating. The deciding battle, both literally and figuratively, would happen at the 83 US Festival, With a budget of $12.5 million, Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak put on a first U.S. US Festival on Labor Day weekend of 82, which I still regret to this day that I never went. The festival drew over 400,000 people to the dusty Southern California town of DeVore to hear bands like Grateful Dead, Talking Heads, and Tom Petty. Approximately 9 months later, over Memorial Day weekend, Woz put on the 83 US Festival at the same site, attracting even bigger names such as Bowie, U2, The Clash, and Van Halen. This time around, the festival carved up into three genre-specific days. New Wave Day, May 28th, Metal Day, the 29th, and Rock Day, the 30th. A fourth day, Country Day, was scheduled for the following weekend. Early troubles emerged when the Clash of New Wave Day headliners threatened not to play after learning that Metal Day headliners Van Halen were being paid a cool $1 million for their appearance, twice as much as their own fee. Ultimately, the Clash did play behind a banner that said, "The Clash, not for sale." Festival organizers responded by flashing an image of their $500,000 paycheck on the giant screens during a portion of their set. The band looked worn out, and Mick Jones left 4 months later. Ironically, when Van Halen headlined Metal Night, they learned that David Bowie was promised the same $1 million fee as they were. So they pointed to a clause in their contract that stipulated they would be the highest paid band at the event. Woz thus shelled out an extra $500,000 for the band, which resulted in a Guinness Book of World Records, creating a new category for the highest amount paid to an act in a single performance. So Van Halen at that point, at $1.5 million, had the record. To open Metal Day, relatively unknown Motley Crue were airlifted to the festival via helicopter, with frontman Vince Neil reportedly amped on Jack Daniels and pills, and a blonde head bobbing up and down on his lap. The high, energetic 45-minute set showcased the band at the top of their game. On the heels of their performance, the release of Shout at the Devil just 4 months later would catapult them into platinum-certified superstardom. What a great album, too. The second day's attendance eclipsed that of the New Wave Day. It was later reported that a total of 670,000 tickets were sold for all 4 days. 375,000 of the 670 were sold to the metal bands, baby. That's right. Metal Day went on to set a new single-day concert attendance record. Surrounded by the dry, crumbling mountains of San Bernardino, the sporadic winds kept up swirling cyclones of dust, covering fans and bands alike. A 300-yard-long pit stretch back from the front of the stage as the crowd surged forward. One official compared the scene to the fall of Saigon as security pulled one sweat and dust-covered punter after another over the barrier into safety. Riding high on the momentum of the third album, Metal Health, fan favorites Quiet Riot plowed through a 9-song set that included Come On, Feel the Noise, ending with exceedingly appropriate Metal Health, Bang Your Head. They would soon become the first metal band to reach number one on the Billboard charts. Ozzy Osbourne and Priest rounded out the early sets, with the latter bands riding high on the bottomless U.S. thirst for You've Got Another Thing Coming, Priest's first and only track to hit the U.S. charts. By the time Triumph took the stage, the mayhem of the pit reached frightening new levels. Triumph bassist Michael Levine said of the crowd, "They've taken every drug, and they've drunk all the liquor they could grab, and they're busy frying in the sun. I guess they're having a good time." Next came the Scorpions, who whipped up the California crowd into a dusty, fist-pumping frenzy, supporting the Blackout album. Backstage, Van Halen were celebrating getting $1.5 million for a single performance on a pathway leading to their half-acre compound, a sign that read, "No Virgins, Journey Fans, or Sheeps Allowed on the Trail." Four bartenders stood ready to serve the expected crowd of 500. Van Halen took the stage. Roth was impaired. Wozniak, in his memoir, said Roth was practically falling down on stage. He was so drunk, slurring, and forgetting lyrics and everything. By the way, he still forgets lyrics. And he's not wasted. I mean, it just, it goes on. Over the span of the festival, Woz lost around $20 million soon after returning to work to Apple. Although the ensuing headlines would largely fill the negative stereotypes for metalheads, in the final balance, the biggest winner of the festival was heavy metal, exposing the public's heroic appetite for heavy guitar-powered music. All day of metal bands would proceed to reach new commercial heights. Triumph would release their biggest all-time hit 3 years later, leaving little doubt as to where the direction of mainstream now pointed. As Vince Neil would famously say, it was the day New Wave died and rock and roll took over. The 83 US Festival. A place I wish I was at. Oh, to this day, I still regret it. Terrible. Telling you. Speaking of metal, you know that Rob Halford is about to release, well, he just released his book, or it's about to come out, the book that, you know, a biography of his story and his life. You heard about it, right?
Last week you told us about him trying to pick up the guy from Iron Maiden.
Paul Di'Anno. He was trying to seduce Paul Di'Anno from Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden, by the way, tweeted out yesterday because they're releasing a 40th anniversary on their debut album, Iron Maiden. And what was your favorite song? And obviously I had to retweet Remember Tomorrow because that is just absolutely awesome. So Halford, another nugget came out of his autobiography called Confess. And this, I got to tell you, I'm going to grab this book because there's a lot of stuff here. In a recent interview promoting the book, the Priest frontman admitted to attempting to seduce former Iron Maiden vocalist Paul Di'Anno, revealing his chat with Queen Elizabeth about heavy metal, and told how to visit a London S&M sex shop, provided Priest with their iconic studs and leather images. But there's more. In an interview with NME, the singer reveals that he was once arrested for cruising toilets in Venice Beach, California, in a case of police entrapment, but the police department declined to release the news of his detention to the media as they were fans of his band. The police did me a favor by keeping it out of the press because it would have been big news, Halford admits. I always refer to that slightly tongue-in-cheek as my George Michael moment. As you all know, you remember, George Michael got arrested in a bathroom too. I was lucky because the sad thing is, it makes people who don't understand the gay community just go, obviously, they're all a bunch of perverts, and that's horrible. But I'd like to think that for the most part, if the incident had broken into the press, then a great proportion of my fans would have said, we'll support you and stand with you. A few years later, when I came out on MTV, that was a proven fact because the feedback from around the world was positive. They just wanted me to continue being the singer for Judas Priest and get on with the job. So interesting how Halford, now, in today's world, he would have never been able to keep it out. No way. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. I think it's impossible to keep it out of the press nowadays because of the way the electronic media is and everything. It's just...
Let's be honest. Back in the day, because of the connotation, it probably wouldn't have been good for him, man, in hindsight.
Well, no, because like he just said, he came out gay after a couple years later and we accepted
what
it.
What I'm saying is a couple years later, but at the time.
It's still the 80s.
If it would have come out because of AIDS and everything else, the connotation of being gay.
But when he came out, we never freaked out.
No, but I'm saying, bro.
I get what you're saying.
If it would have come out at that moment, it wouldn't have been good for him.
No, it wouldn't have been good.
It wouldn't have. That's what I'm saying.
But he would have overcome it right away.
Eventually. Eventually,
metal fans wouldn't care. They just want to jam, bro.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't care, bro. They didn't care when, and it was the 80s, and he came out and said he was gay. And we were like, oh, he's gay? Wow, all right. Well, let's go, bro. Let's rock.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things.
What's the next jam, bro?
I had Halford on my show. God, this was like 6 years ago. I still have the interview. Where we talked about that, and it was just one of those deals where he was just as floored as everybody else that nobody really, like, went crazy about it. One more thing on the music side that I want to throw out there, and it's not metal, It's, I don't even know if it's new wave. It's probably more pop. What would you call Spandau Ballet? Pop, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Well, Tony Hadley is the lead singer of Spandau Ballet. And so in an interview, he says he wishes he had been a rival of the 80s band Duran Duran. Hadley, now 60, vocalist for Spandau Ballet, True, Gold, all that stuff. He quit in 2017 to go solo, despite not revealing why. He has hinted at an acrimonious fallout with bandmates Gary and Martin Kemp, Steve Norman, and John Keeble. In a Stars, Cars, Guitar podcast, Hadley said, "I wish I had been in Duran Duran." Asked if he had been, if he had swapped Spandau for Duran, he replies, "Yeah, I would. Yeah, in retrospect, yeah. I would have gone in there like in Flynn." And Spandau's heyday in the early 80s was their strongest competition came from fellow new romantic groups Duran Duran and Simon Le Bon. In 99, Hadley, Norman, and Keeble failed in an attempt to sue Gary Kemp and the band's songwriter for a share of his royalties. The band reformed in 2009 after 19 years apart, but have failed to find success since Hadley's departure 3 years ago. You can't have Spandau Ballet without Hadley, bro. Tony Hadley is the voice. You're just not going to – you can't replace that sometimes. You know what I mean? You can try, but most people won't. Journey has been able to replace it live and still survive, but they haven't gone on to have any hits. You know what I mean? But they've been able to do that. So Hadley, his bitterness and with the breakup with his band so badly that, it, oh, no, I'd rather be in Duran Duran, which, by the way, there's no comparison.
That goes without saying almost.
You know, like, I don't know if you could ever put Spandau Ballet in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No.
But Duran Duran's a first ballot Hall of Famist.
Yes.
I mean, it's not even, that's not up for debate.
That's a no-doubter.
That's, yeah. Not even up for debate. Spandau, you can make a case or something or whatever, but.
Look, some nice songs, some really good stuff.
Two great songs.
Yes, exactly. Great iconic song. All-timers. Yeah. But.
I love Gold.
But.
Actually, I think it's a great song.
It's night and day.
Yeah.
Not even close. Between the two bands.
Not even close. Kenneth Cleveland giving us a little love on the Super Chat. He says, "Good afternoon, Big O. Kenneth Cleveland is live from the penthouse boom boom room. The ladies want you to do a remote from the VIP room. Tell Bill Baked Beans is banned from the boom boom room." Ah, the baked beans. The baked beans. So Bill is the bouncer, so he can't allow baked beans in there. Big O, I want to go back to the Dolphins. It amazes me how some of these fans say, "Oh, we suck this and that," but don't realize how much the turnover this team had. I'm thinking positive and glad some of these dumb writers saying that Tannehill wasn't the problem here with the Dolphins, saying it was a mistake. Bro, it's prisoners of the moment and all that. It's, you know, everything comes and goes. And last year when he had a terrific year last year, and then when they stopped the run in the playoffs, he became Tannehill again, that he couldn't really get you out of it because that's not who he is, and he never will be. He is on his best day a facilitator, and that's what they make him in Tennessee. Great running game, great offensive line, defense, good play calling that they kind of set things up and really make it easy for him. But it's not because he's got to make great throws all the time and he's bailing them out. It has nothing to do with that, but that's what it is. What are you going to do, man? You know, but people get caught up, you know, prisoner of the moment type of deal. And that's what's going on here. So listen, they did the same thing last year. And then everybody had to change their tune as the year went on. They'll do the same thing this year as the Dolphins improve. And they see the defense get better and everybody get better, then they'll go, "Oh, okay, well, then it's not so bad." You know, you don't see people, very few people are coming out when we had most people saying they're tanking. So why didn't most of them all come out and say we were wrong? They don't. That's just the way it is. People overreact, man. Oh, if you, Randy Rhoads guitar playing, check out one of his biggest influences in the 70s, a band called Bebop Deluxe. Start with Song Gates at Dawn. You will Randy in the solo. Okay, let me write this down. I've never heard of this. Okay, Bebop Deluxe. Tremolio, you come up with some stuff, bro. You are hardcore, bro. Okay? All right, and then we'll start with Gates at Dawn. Okay? I have written it down, my brother. I will check it out. I'm going to watch a little Greta today. I'll watch a little Bebop Deluxe and see a little Randy. If anyone is a troll in this chat, it's Tremolio. Look at the effing name. Tremolio actually is a good contributor to the show, bro. Why are you picking on him, baked beans? Because everybody's picking on you. Kenneth Cleveland, Julius 305, and Herman Cueva, you gentlemen have a VIP day in the Boom Boom Room. There you go. You guys are set up. Anthony Orlando, you have a little bit of echo when you're talking in your microphone. Is it still going on? Is it still going on? Tell me. Don Parlamento says Greta is outstanding. Yes, they are. Ray says Spandau versus Duran Duran, hands down. Spandau was more pop and jazz. Duran was more of a complete, in my book, especially early Duran is the best. Oh, yeah, definitely. Never could understand these guys cruising public bathrooms. There's nothing like the smell of piss and poop to turn people on. Freaking weird. Yeah, but it shows you, dude, that when you're gay and you have to hide it, right, you have to go to places where people aren't going to be. You know what I mean? And if you're a guy like Rob Halford, you try to go somewhere where people won't notice you and you're probably in some kind of, you know, disguise or something like that. Because if you go to a club, then they know who you are. And so remember, if you're not gay, you're not going to know what they go through. Staying in the closet, all that stuff, hanging around the rest of us. Because you may have a friend that was in your group and you're all joking. And then you throw a gay joke out there. And then you're insulting somebody, but they're not in front of you at the moment. You didn't know that you actually had somebody that was gay in front of you. You know, that kind of stuff. It's got to be a tough life to live because you're kind of hiding all the time. And so I think that's what Rob meant, that they don't know what gay people go through. You know what I mean? And the good thing is that our society is now being more accepting of others and, you know, their choices, whether they want to be lesbians or gays or bisexuals or whatever it is. You know, we're at least being more receptive to it and we're not ostracizing these people. Whereas 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, the deeper you go, the more you were ostracized and you were, you know, evil and you were against the Lord or you were whatever reasoning they had for you being gay and it was wrong. You know what I mean? So it's got to be tough for them. So that's the part we have to understand, too, what people go through. You know what I mean? It's you never really understand something unless you can walk in their shoes or you can take a step back to try to imagine what it's like to walk in their shoes, you know? So that's where I would say, you know, Orlando, have you ever thought of doing interviews with Brian May or Slash? Anthony, can you get him on the phone for me? I have no problem getting Brian May on the phone.
I think that's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah,
you really
let's
want to
go.
Do that, right?
Anthony, are you that kind of producer? Because I can hire you. I need a booking producer. You got what? You got the skills, dude? You got the connections? Let's go. Yeah, bro, of course. Yeah, bring it on. Let's go.
There is a slight on the YouTube nowhere else. So this may be like Philippe was telling me, whenever they do updates, stuff happens. It's because it's only on YouTube.
All right. I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm sorry if it GP Trap says it sounds fine to him, but
it's just it's very slight, very in the back, slight hint of it. I can hear it, but like I said, the other three recording spots, nothing's there. So it's strictly YouTube. They may be doing an update.
Yeah. Troy Ortiz says, "Oh, when will we see superstar athletes come out of the closet?" I think you'll see them now in the next 10 years. I think by 2030. All right, we're 2020. By 2030, you're going to have a superstar that's going to come out openly gay.
You really think it's going to take that long, though? We just had the kid from Missouri.
By 2030, no, he's not a superstar.
Yeah, but
He's talking about like LeBron. He's talking about
major.
Yeah, we're talking about a real professional superstar. You know what I mean? Pat Mahomes comes out, he's gay. You know what I mean? I think in the next 10 years, it could be next year, it could be 5 years from now, but in this decade, I think that bridge will be crossed, that a superstar will come out gay. I'm not talking about a WNBA superstar. I'm talking about an NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, the NHL. It'll come out in the next 10 years.
You would like to think so. That we have gotten where we're that open-minded that
I don't give
it's
a
not
rat's
an
ass.
Ish exactly.
Who cares, bro? Can you play?
Right.
Can you play? That's all I care about. Can you help my team win
a championship? Yes.
That's all, that's dude. It. If you're not a criminal, I'm good with it. Nothing wrong with
right.
that.
Right. As long as you're not hurting anybody, that's doing it. Bad things, stuff like that, man. Whatever floats your boat, makes you happy, man. More power to you.
Go for it, bro. Doesn't matter to me. But I think it'll happen eventually. We're headed there. Radically says Vince Neil got busted in a gas station bathroom in Colorado Springs with a hot local chick back in the 80s. He bragged about it on stage during the concert. Yeah. Who doesn't get busted? I got busted having sex in public. It was at the airport, Perimeter Road, Key Biscayne. I don't know, a couple of places, man.
Key Biscayne for sure. The park over on West 8th Avenue.
Give me a break, bro. Now, I was a teenager. Okay, I'm not a grown-ass man, but what? Rob Halford looking for sex in a bathroom. Vince Neil having sex in a bathroom. I've had sex at modern age.
Sonesta Beach during New Year's 1 year. Sonesta Beach.
Give me a break, dude. Who hasn't gotten busted having sex? Come on. Give me a break. I had sex once in the Riviera Theater on US 1 in the balcony. The movie on, a little sex. Let's go. Orlando, if you enjoy Greta Van Fleet, I recommend you listen to Rain Wolf and Gravel Tones. Don't know either one, dude. Wow. Rain Wolf and Gravel Tones. Okay. You guys are giving me homework, music homework today. This is fun. I like that. Michael Young says the echo is still here, Big O. All right. Let's see. Francisco Verdugo says Ricky Martin superstar. No, it's talking about sports, dude. There's been plenty of music superstars that are openly gay, bro. I mean, we just were talking about Rob Halford. That's a rock superstar. No, that's not here. No, he's talking about sports, my brother. But, yes, the Ricky Martin thing, yes, he did come out years ago.
But Ricky Martin, superstar?
He was for a time.
Menudo. And
and La Vida Loca and all that stuff. It's a worldwide hit, bro.
I know. He's huge.
He's no longer a superstar, but in the 90s, the dude had his moment.
Yeah, he did.
Worldwide.
I get it.
Dude, his song was used in the Olympics.
No, it was Monster.
Soccer.
It was that song probably hung around getting burned, played for 2 years.
Well, we used it at the Miami Fusion.
For 2 years, that thing
We used it at the Miami Fusion for an open for an entire season.
Yeah. No.
Cup of Life.
Look, that, like, what was it? A little bit of Rita.
That's Lou Bega.
No, but dude, songs that get airplay.
No, I get it.
Two years.
But you were right on target because he was part of Menudo, which was a worldwide sensation.
Girls
phenomenon.
Love that crap,
dude. You know what it is? Ricky Martin is my prerogative. The guy that married Whitney.
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown. New Edition. Then he goes on right, by
yes.
himself.
Adult, yeah.
And it's not like he had 800 hits. He had a couple. Actually, maybe more than Ricky.
Hey, bro, Bobby's – dude, right, Bobby, you go look at his catalog. He's got four or five amazingly incredible songs.
No longer superstar, but at the moment when he was New Edition and by himself.
Probably the biggest thing.
He was a superstar at the moment. You know what I mean? And so Ricky had his moment where he was a worldwide sensation because Menudo – was a worldwide sensation with punks worldwide.
Yeah.
And then he goes on by himself. So it's just one of those.
Bro, I can remember the days of, being at St. John's and, Catholic school. All them little girls, bro, loved Menudo.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. Big time. I got busted getting serviced at a youth fair in the farm animal building. There you go.
I hope it wasn't a farm animal.
That's right, Tremolio. No farm animals here, okay? Orlando, wait a minute. Do you agree with the way the running backs are being used with the Dolphins? Yeah, you have a problem with the running back getting 4 or 6 yards a carry? Is there a problem that Miles Gaskins had 6 yards a carry this week? I'm trying to figure this out, Sal.
Breida had 5.
Why are you falling for the bait that some of the media members out there, who cares that they traded for Breida? What matters is if you were playing Miles Gaskins, he was getting 2 yards a carry, and you're not playing Breida, then I get it. But in the first week, they had almost the same amount of carries. They both averaged 4.4 yards per carry. This week, Breida average, I think, 4 yards a carry again.
There's 7 carries for 44 is what you said. And the other one was 5 for 30.
Six. And so then now Miles Gaskin went up to 6 yards. How is that a problem?
And what's his name? Breida had, I think you said, 7 carries for 37 yards. It was just over 5 yards a carry.
Yeah, I don't know how that – that's not – they didn't lose because of that. You know what I mean? So, no, I have no problem with the running game. Okay, I would have a problem if you were running Jordan Howard and he was getting 2 yards a carry and you're not using Gaskins or Breida. But as long as Gaskin is playing the way he's playing, I'm good, man. I love it. Ricky Martin was a superstar for sure. I wasn't a fan but knew of his work for sure. Now look at that. Even NorCal knows Ricky Martin. That tells you he's a superstar. For a moment. For a little time. Did you have a chance to listen to Heroes de Silencio and Vilma Palma? No, you know what? I did not. And I'm going to write it down here since I have all these other ones. Del Silencio and Vilma Palma. I did not. But today I will. Today I will sit there and I will listen to a bunch of this stuff or watch it and listen. Let's see, what else do we have here on the chat board that has been very active today? Gaskins is kicking ass. I agree. All right, did you have a chance? Let me see. Coming, are we talking super? No, okay, forget about that. All right, anyway, the other thing that I wanted to talk about today on the program, we have several things. First of all, Chan Gailey. Address the meteors, okay? I figured we'd talk a little Miami Dolphins since the boys are getting ready for Thursday's game. Chan Gailey normally addresses the media on Tuesdays, but yesterday he did it because they have a short week. They play on Thursday. So yesterday was a Tuesday basically for him. They're all back at work trying to get ready for all of this stuff. Let's play Chan Gailey, the offensive coordinator, and let's go over some of his comments. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We'll try to get it on now for you here. Let's see. Do we have it?
Good morning, Channel. I was wondering your thoughts on the performance of the offense in general and Ryan Fitzpatrick in particular on Sunday.
Well, we didn't play well enough. If you lose, you don't play well enough. That's the bottom line. We made improvement from last week to this week, but it's going to take more improvement for us to get where we want to get to. I thought we did some good things. Our two-minute offense, first half, second half, last week, has continued to be positive. I hope we can run the ball a little bit better in the future. But Ryan's one of the greatest competitors I've ever been around, and he's a great leader and made some great throws yesterday. And I hope that will continue, and we'll get rid of the bad stuff and keep the good stuff going.
Omar?
Chan, I want to ask you a little bit about the running game. What do you feel are the issues? 99 yards wasn't that bad in terms of production standpoint. Obviously, you didn't win, but why do you feel that you're having these issues about your base run game?
Well, a lot of times defenses dictate. The reason we were able to hit so many play-action passes yesterday is because they played the extra defender up in the box, and you've got run or pass called, and when they play the extra defender in the box, you can hand it off, but you're going to gain 1 or 2 yards, but you can throw the play-action pass and have a chance for a bigger play. So a lot of times defenses dictate your running game for you. And so we are right now we're content to take the run game when we can get it and then be efficient with it. That's the biggest thing, is to be efficient when you do run it. We've got more than I want, 0 and 1 yard game plays in the run game, but we're dictated a lot of times by the defense.
Adam?
I wanted to get your thinking on the goal line situation. You took 4 shots, obviously, at the goal line, and then you threw on 4th down to Preston. What was your thinking? What were you trying to accomplish, obviously, aside from getting into the end zone on those 4 plays? And aside from the drop, was that 4th down play executed as planned?
We have a goal line package every time we walk into a game, and now we had – plays we thought would work, and we didn't execute them to the best of our ability, and we didn't get in the end zone. And that's a product of maybe I've got to do a better job of planning those plays and getting better play management in that situation. And then we got to execute better. And if he catches the ball, we aren't having this discussion. If he doesn't, since he didn't, we are. But that's, you know, everybody has decisions to make on a football field, and Fitz made the decisions he made, and most of the time it works when he makes them. This time it didn't.
Omar?
I wanted to ask you about Preston. Obviously, we saw him during camp, and he kind of showed out in terms of production. What do you think is attributed to his slow start? Is it the cornerbacks that's defending him? Is that one of the reasons he's had a slow start so far?
Well, they took their number one corner and put on him most of the game yesterday. That shows a lot of respect for who they think Preston is. So that's part of it. And you know, we've got to continue to find out, you know, the things he's doing well and make sure that we're incorporating those things that he does well. We want to make him the best player that he can be. But he's drawing some of the tough guys right now.
Travis? Hey, Coach. Yesterday, Fitz talked about some of the adjustments coming out of the locker room in the second half. I was just curious to get your take. You saw the Bills doing defensively and how you kind of made those adjustments at halftime.
Well, we just had a run or two that we wanted to try that we hadn't had in the game plan going in. And then we added a couple of passes that we felt like we could take advantage of play fakes since they had everybody up near the ball, that we thought we could play action past them and get them get guys in a position behind those linebackers to make some plays. And we were able to get that done. We just adjusted a couple of plays that we already had. We just adjusted a couple of those and put people in a position to be successful.
Josh?
Hey, Chan, good to see you. Last week you mentioned about wanting to incorporate Matt Breida more in the play calling. Do you feel like you accomplished that? And also kind of a two-part question. You know, we asked about Miles last week, but again, he had another solid performance in the catching game as well. Is it tough to incorporate three backs, you know, when you have two talented guys in the offseason and then a young guy like Miles?
Yeah, there's only one football. Nobody ever gets it enough. That's just the way it happens in this game. And when you have good receivers, you have a good tight end, you have good running backs, everybody cannot touch it as much as they would like to touch it or as much as anybody would like for them to touch it.
Don't you love touching it?
Do what the defense allows you to do. And
Those are drops right there.
Okay, just played well yesterday, did some really good things. Miles continues to do some good things, and Jordan runs hard for us on the goal line and some other places.
When you touch it, it's a good thing.
Continue to try to do what they do best.
Touching it.
All right, coaches, one more question. We'll go to Joe.
What did you think of Gesicki's one-handed catch and then also his play overall?
Well, the catch was, you know, highlight reel stuff. It was really an amazing catch. Yeah, but I've seen him do it before. So doing it in a game, to me, I didn't expect it. But, you know, I understood it when I saw it because I've seen him do it before. And he understands the game. He gets the game. He gets what he needs to do and where he needs to be. And he's able to catch the ball in his hands away from his body. And he has such a big body, people have a hard time going around him to get to the ball. So right now he's a tough target for people to cover.
There you go. That is the offensive coordinator of your Miami Dolphins, Chan Gailey. Not a lot of earth-shattering stuff there where we had to stop and kind of explain what was going on and what he said and try to decipher some of this stuff. And I think he was pretty clear early on in the press conference when he was talking about how the defense dictates what they do. And obviously talking about playing and getting Miles Gaskins in. And, you know, you signed some other guys. So I thought he pretty much covered everything and talking about Fitz. And Fitz, listen, you know, he told you what kind of a competitor he is. There, you know, for those of you that are dying to turn the page and move on to Tua, it's just not going to happen that quickly. And it shouldn't. And I'm glad that they have the right attitude about all of this because I think it's good for, believe it or not, I think Tua is learning something here in the mental side of all of this, watching Fitz prepare week in and week out. So I find it to be an immense positive on their part. All right, I've gone, 48 minutes straight now? Is that what it is, right? We did from the top of the hour, right? We haven't broken at the bottom, right?
What are you talking about, man?
What am I at now?
An hour and 10 minutes.
Really?
48.
Done an hour and 10 minutes straight.
Where the hell have you been? You've been sitting right here. You're not keeping track. What's going on, bro?
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back. Flo addressed the media today. We're going to listen to his comments. We'll come back on the other side. We'll wrap it up after Flo. I may have another thing or two to say. I got to give you my picks I actually got several other stories, but man, I'm already at 4 hours. So we're going to wrap it up, but we're going to do flow first when we come back here, and I'll give you a couple of other things before we wrap it up here on the show. Back with more. Hey, it's Big O. For all of your family dental needs, please reach out to Mudias Dental. I've known Eric for a while, a big fan of our show. Call him at 305-821-0231. Whether it's you or your kids that need some dental help, whether it's implants, Invisaligns, they are the experts. Or if you're just looking to fill a cavity or clean your teeth or maybe even get a crown, you are going to love the professionalism, the family-like atmosphere. And of course, when you talk about being clean, that's what it's all about in today's society. You are going to go to an extremely clean place. Go to MudiasDental.com. Go to the website. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Mudias Dental. Tell them that Big O sent you, 305-821-0231, or go to MudiasDental.com.
Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com. A travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. Go to MikeNoGoZones.com.
Hey, it's Big O. For all of your CBD, THC, or hookah needs, you got to get on down to VSS West Pines at 12397 Pembroke Road. Yes, they have got legal THC. You've got to check it out. And they've got, of course, when it comes to CBD, flower, tinctures, edibles, for all kinds of reasons, whether it's pain, stress, anxiety, you name it. And don't forget, when you mention my name, you'll get 20% off. Tell the boys out there that I told you to get on down to VSS West Pines, 12397 Pembroke Road, and call them 954-613-3367. Legal THC, CBD, all of your hookah needs. You go to VSS West Pines.
It's a buyer's market at Toyota of Hollywood. Over 1,500 Toyotas on the ground, and truckloads just keep on coming. Now pay up to 50% less. 2020 Camry, not $29,000, $17,775. 2020 Corolla, not $22,000, $13,775. Buy a new 2020 Toyota with zero down and 0% financing, or we'll make your payments till 2021 at Toyota of Hollywood, the number one volume Toyota dealer on 441 between Hollywood Boulevard and Sheridan Street.